As you see the events in the world and in the news taking place, let's entitle this message, The Progression of Evil. How did we get from being people of a decent sort to evil beyond belief? I got this news report just yesterday. Amazing. Let me read it. Gaga. You heard of Gaga? Yeah. Began by asking the crowd, are you ready? Now, this is Gay Pride Day. Okay. Are you ready for a blank party? In the crowd were Joel and Victoria Olsteen. Yes, indeed. Who were indeed ready to party. Now, you remember I mentioned the book, In the Closet of the Vatican, okay? And the writer himself was a homosexual. And I didn't know that, but in reading through various parts of the book, I wondered why he was so positive toward that perverted so-called love. And so I actually sent him an email. Because he had his email, and I said, could you please let me know if you're a homosexual? Never answered back. So I got an email from someone who said, why did you even mention that book? That writer's a homosexual. Okay. Progression of evil. Think of it. In many different ways. Look at how it's progressed here in California. And you can measure that by marijuana. And we said for years, they will legalize it for what? For tax money, right? And isn't that what they did? And guess what they have done? They have caused a depression in the medical marijuana clinics because now they can buy it. Okay? Back to this. The event was hosted to celebrate Gay Pride at the Apollo Theater, and the pastor of the nation's largest church was in attendance. Now, how many here have watched Joel Osteen on television? Okay. Yeah. Just three of us. Okay. When you watched him, you always thought there was something strange about him, right? Okay. This answers the question. Gaya calls her fans little monsters, and they were in full excitement, as it was the performer's first appearance at the famous Harlem Theater. The entire event was oriented around Gay Pride. Along with Joel and Victoria Olsteen were celebrants, and a whole list of them there. Okay, the event was basically a theatrically performed representation of the biblical city of Sodom. And the crowd couldn't be gayer to be there. Quite a thing. How does it go that far? Okay? Now, lots of times, people look at the wrong source, and they don't understand how that could happen. But we do have a feast which gives us good explanation, right? And that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Little leaven leavens the whole lump, correct? All right. And this goes way, way back. Now, this may seem, what I'm going to read next, to have no connection at all, but it does. Now, this is an encyclical letter of the Supreme Pontiff, John Paul II. Now, how many remember Dr. Hay? All you remember Dr. Hay. How many ever heard his sermon, The Thinker and the Thought? Okay? That's where he said that the Logos was in the mind of the Father, and he was the thinker, and the Logos was the thought. Now, you think, that's kind of strange. It is. because this gets to the root of the whole problem. How do human beings leave God and yet think they're doing well? Okay, let me read it. He says, "My venerable brother bishops, health and apostolic blessing. Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth." And in that sermon that Dr. Hay gave, and it was pretty close to the time that this was written, so I don't know what to make of that. Okay. He said that reason, Herman Hay did, was one of the great tools God has given men. That is only correct if your reason is directed by God's word and his spirit. Because reason alone is how men get led astray. And God has placed in the human heart a desire to know the truth. Really. In a word, to know himself so that by knowing and loving God, men and women may also come to the fullness of the truth about themselves. Okay? Then he says, I'll read just a little bit more here so you can get the text of this. In both East and West, now he's talking about religion, and all the religions are coming back to Rome because they are Babylon. We may trace a journey which has led humanity down the centuries to meet and engage truth more and more deeply. It is a journey which has unfolded, as it must, within the horizon of personal self-consciousness, rather than, where's God? The more human beings know reality and the world, the more they know themselves and their uniqueness, with the question of the meaning of things and of their very existence becoming more and more pressing. Leave God out. Now, he brings him in a little later to make it all sound good. This is why all the object of our knowledge becomes part of our life. The admonition, know yourself, now listen to this, was carved on the temple portal of Delphi as a testimony to the basic truth to be adopted as a minimal norm by those who seek to set themselves apart from the rest of creation as human beings, that is, as those who know themselves. Then he lists all the other religions who have the same thing. So he says, philosophy, the lover and loving of knowledge and wisdom, is what is the great quest of man, rather than finding God. Now then, that's how all of this started. Let's come to Romans, the first chapter, and we will see that. Yeah, good question. Good question. The only way they can know the really the truth is with God's calling. That's correct. But the fundamental truths of the Bible are available for everyone, see. For example, 10 commandments have been known all along by everyone. They quote them, but they don't live them. They accept some of it, but they reject the other part of it. So this is the thing, see. God has given enough that mankind and all people can know about God. And he's given his word, especially today. Okay? Now, let's pick it up right here. In Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. And here Paul is talking about he's coming to Rome. Verse 15. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. First chapter tells you Peter was never there. Because if Peter were there in 42 A.D., and he is writing this in about 55 A.D., 54 A.D., then Peter didn't ever get there. Because Peter would have preached the gospel. If you read the last part of the book of Acts, the Jews that came to him in prison said, well, we've heard about this, but we don't know anything about it. Okay? Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Now, we're going to learn something else very important as we go through the things we're going to cover in the scriptures today. God always gives the what we would say in human terms, the positive things first, and then the negative. So this is what he done. He talked about Christ, resurrection, the power of God, the faith that they have, and so forth. Okay? Ready to preach the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That's the key, how many people believe. It can come right up to them, but they won't believe it. So that's the difference. In order to understand salvation, you must answer the call of God. Both to the Jew first and to the Greek, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now this is what he's talking about with conversion. All people have a certain amount of faith to believe. Remember Jesus said to those who came and were healed, said, your faith has healed you? Okay? That was the human faith. Now our faith and belief, that goes to God, and when we're converted, God gives us his spirit and his faith, and so our relationship with God is continuously from faith to faith. From the faith of God to us, our faith back to God, and it continually goes. So we grow in faith, we grow in knowledge, we grow in love. Okay? According as it is written, the just shall live by faith, not philosophy. Indeed, the wrath of God, now here comes what you would call the negative, is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. How do they do that? Well, they're professing to represent Christ. By the teachings of men and by philosophy. That's how they do that. And he says that philosophy is a great gift of God. No, it is condemned in Colossians, the second chapter, where Paul says, be on guard, don't let anyone deceive you with philosophy. Because what happens? What happens when there's this kind of philosophy at the high level in religion? Men are declaring that God doesn't know everything and we are greater than God. Okay? That's what it gets bent down to. Now, there's a favorite news analyst and also constitutionalist that I like very well, Mark Levine. Okay? And he's on Sunday night and also Saturday afternoon on Fox News, and he gets these very intelligent people in there, and they talk back and forth about philosophy and about the Constitution and what's wrong with the society, and they have all of these great things that he thinks about, and he's a genius, really. I mean, as a man, he's a genius, without a doubt. And he upholds the Judeo-Christian religion, but he doesn't know a thing about it. Because rarely does he even see the flaws in the Constitution of America. There are flaws which allow sin and the progression of sin to where you can take a noted so-called Christian pastor who comes and reveals what he really is and what he really reveals, Joel Osteen and his wife Victoria, who suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness, and we can add there, through philosophy. Remember the major takedown in worldwide. Who was the most important and influential person to do that? A Greek philosopher named Stavronides. And he was so intellectually superior to everyone that no one could have a right question or right answer to anything that he said. And if you didn't believe him, you were a low-grade ignoramus. And what did he attack? What does philosophy attack? The nature of God. Let's go on. And we'll see that's what they do here. How do they attack the nature of God here? We'll continue. Because that which may be known of God is manifest among them, for God has manifested it to them. They knew the things. Now, not truth unto conversion, obviously. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that were made, both as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They see all of this that's out there in the heavens and everything that has been created, and they say, well, there's no God. It's been billions and billions of years and evolving. But God says, here I am. I made it. But they think, oh, no. No, 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 no. We have a better idea, God. And where does that go back to? Where's the first better idea recorded in the Bible? You know? Cain. That's right. Cain. God gave them the law of how to bring an offering. Abel brought an offering according to the law for the firstling. Cain brought whatever he wanted because he did not yield to God. He had a better idea. Anything I bring, God ought to accept. Okay? So what did God tell him? Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but what? You must rule over it. In other words, it's possible, knowing what God has said, knowing right and wrong, to rule over sin enough that you're not carried away to the worst aspects of sin. Okay, that's how there are good people in the world who are not called. And some of them are very nice. I remember I had an experience when things were all going to hell in a handbasket worldwide. And I came through Watsonville, and Jack knows where that is there, where that Buddhist temple is right there on the left side, just before you start coming up 129. So with everything going wrong there, I thought, well, I had some time, so I just drove over there, and I thought I would go up and look in and see what's it like inside a Buddhist building. You couldn't call it a temple, it had to be a building, okay? So the door was open, so I looked in there, and it's just like any church. Pews and so forth, but without all the garbage of the Catholics up front. So I'm standing there looking at it, and I thought, wow. And here comes an attendant there, and he says, may I help you, sir? And he was very nice, very kind. We had a nice talk. And I thought, I'm talking to a Buddhist who's an attendant here at the Buddhist building, and he's nicer than those who are in the Church of God. I thought, this is crazy. But that's how it happens, see? So, even though people can know a good deal of the truth of God, doesn't mean they're called to salvation. That is only to keep the society at a low level of evil. But when you don't do that, and there is lawlessness put into the laws of the country, then everything comes apart. And that's how this has happened. But it all starts with philosophy. Because someone says, I think. I have an idea. So let's go forward. Verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Okay? Because everyone somewhere along in their life, they believe in God somehow, maybe not unto anything spectacular, but at least they're not atheists, they're not agnostics, and they're not hostile against God yet. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own reasonings. Philosophy, okay? And that's what this whole report is all about. And it gets down to it, the long and short of it is that in this report, it shows that the Catholics took all of the worship of Diana or Delphi and gave it to Mary. That's why she's called what? What is she called? Queen of Heaven. And that's how it gets corrupted with philosophy. But let's read on. And their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools. Look at what's happened to all the laws in America, the foolish, stupid laws. All you have to do is look at the problem with abortion. And as I brought out, that's America's greatest sin. And that's why we have the immigration problem. If you want to kill 3,000 of the unborn a day, then I'm going to send you 3,000 immigrants, legal or illegal. See? And it's such that they're so blinded and stupid in their reasonings that they can't understand what they're doing. They have thousands and thousands of homeless on the streets of Seattle and Portland and San Francisco and Los Angeles and other cities, and yet the laws are so stupid because God has given them over to stupidity and their ignorance that an illegal alien can come here and immediately get on welfare, and they can't get it to help the homeless. See? Their foolish hearts were darkened. And they, while professing themselves to be the wise ones, became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed creatures and creeping things. Okay? Now, what happens? God says, if you want sin, have at it. If you won't listen to me, have at it. For this cause, God also abandoned them, left them to their self. And look what happens when that occurs. To uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to disgrace their own bodies between themselves. And so, we have it in this report. Look at it. And how did that grow so big? It goes back to a law that came before the Supreme Court out of Texas was, can two adults, consenting adults, do whatever they want in the privacy of an abode? The answer was, yes. Now that started out to be a narrow decision concerning sexual immorality. But that soon expanded to many, many different things, right? Now you can go in your home and you can plan a crime. And that's not a crime. Because no one can come in and tell you it's a crime. You can plan the crime, maybe you don't carry it out. Okay? But what happens to your thinking because you thought of it and planned it? Okay. People don't even think of that. All right? And if they carry it out and they're successful, look at what you have. Now notice what happens then. Who exchanged the truth of God. Take the word of God, throw it away. Cast the word of God behind their backs. For the lie. And what is the lie? You can decide for your own self. And then comes the worship later. Because they don't realize when they get into doing these things and strange worship. See there, look at that today. I've got a book at home that I've read some of it. The Institutionalization of Witchcraft in America. No. They don't think they're worshiping Satan. They're in touch with the other spirits. They don't know they're demonic. And they think they're doing good. I'm a good witch, they say. We do hexes to bless people. Now, where does that lead? Okay? Then it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, see? Exchange the truth of God for the lie. And they worship and serve the created thing more than the one who is creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God abandoned them. Now, that's the second time. And it gets worse. You read all of these. See? They become more depraved. You know? What happens in a person's life? Here they're born into the world, all these wonderful young little babies, and they're sweet and they're cute, and there's nothing up here in their brains except they know how to nurse and they know how to cry, and then they grow, they're taught, whatever it may be. Okay? What happens to their minds? Look at them. All because of philosophy, we know better than God. So God abandons them. And you read all the rest, it's absolutely incredible. Okay? Now, let's come back here to Jeremiah 10. Let's see something that's important. And true. Always is true. Remember, the word of God is true. There is no lie in it. And people may not like it because it tells them, don't do this, don't do that. But also, God always gives the positive first, then he gives the correction after that. Jeremiah 10. Here's an absolute truism. The first part of it talks about the Christmas tree, but if you tell someone, well, did you know the Bible talks in the Christmas tree that you shouldn't do it? Oh, doesn't make any difference. We have a lot of fun. That's good. And it's a family affair. Hey, that's how Satan works, right? Let's make it a family affair. Let's have fun. Then you're authorized to lie to your children that there is a Santa Claus and an Easter Bunny. And all that sort of thing, all right? Now, verse 14. Every man is stupid for lack of knowledge. That's quite a verse, isn't it? Every refiner is put to shame by the graven image, for his molten image is a lie, and there is no breath in it. They are vanity, the work of delusion. In the time of their judgment, they shall perish. Okay, let's come down here to verse 23. After going through all the problems down to that, Jeremiah says, now, remember, Jeremiah was 40 years witnessing to the Jews before the calamity came. Every evil, everything, we'll see it in a bit. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. So, the wonderful phrase, know yourself, from the Temple of Delphi, and the main thing of the philosophers, that they're trying to find out about man and who he is, what he should do, and here they've got the Bible right there. And they would know if they would obey God. See? You can be as smart as you want, the smartest person in the world. Look at what happened to Solomon. Wisest man in the history of the world. Verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his step. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. That's why there's repentance, and God will give you the knowledge. Now come over here to Jeremiah 17, and we're going to see in this that God inspires the pattern. You talk about evil, then you talk about good. You talk about correction, then you talk about good. Okay? Jeremiah 17. Let's read verse 1. Now, this is about where we're getting here in America. I mean, what do you think would happen if there was a real minister of God who stood up at this gathering back there at the Harlem Theater and said, all of you repent! You've got this representation of Sodom. Have you never read the Bible what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah? What? They would run up there and drag you out, pull you apart limb from limb, wouldn't they? Right? Okay. The sin of Judah is engraven with a pen of iron and a point of a diamond. It is carved upon the tablet of their heart and upon the horns of their altars. So God's destruction of Jerusalem was just. It was also merciful because he sent them to Babylon for 70 years. And they came back. And God let them rebuild the temple. Now, come over here to verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. And what is philosophy? Trusting in the thoughts of men. And makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub that is in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. But he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land that is not inhabited. All right? There's the denunciation of evil. Now notice the positive, the blessing of looking to God. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. See, same pattern we find back there in Romans, the first chapter. You find it throughout the Bible, everywhere in the Bible, the same way. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the water. What psalm is this? Psalm 1. It sends out its roots by the river, and it shall not fear when the heat comes, but its foliage shall be green. And he's not worried in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. Now then, evil. Where does evil come from? And this is what repentance and conversion is all about. See? Because the human mind, even the converted human mind, must what? Overcome the evil within. Isn't that true? Yes. I mean, all of us here are converted, right? Yes, indeed. Okay? Sometimes you may think, because of your own thoughts, you may not be converted like you need to be. And that would be a good assessment. That's why there's repentance, see? But think about people who don't know God, who have no understanding of what's right and wrong except their own standard. We have what? Our what? Values, right? What do we have? The commandments of God, right? And the Spirit of God to lead us. And when there are evil thoughts that spring up in your mind, because everything you've ever thought of is still in your mind and won't be removed completely until the resurrection. Now, just yesterday afternoon, I went into Nob Hill get the things for sandwiches for today. Okay, and I had to, I forgot tomatoes, so Ken got the tomatoes for me. Okay, so here I am, pushing around the cart, and I have to go from one end of the store to the other end of the store, and they've got music, okay? And there was this music, dump-dump-doom, 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 dump dump. And when I was going out of the store, guess what was in my mind? Dump, dump, dump. Right? Okay. Maybe that's why Jonathan is not enthused with music. Okay. And I had the hardest time getting that out of my mind. And it was just a passing thing. It wasn't evil. It wasn't sin. But it was annoying. Dump, dump, dump. Okay? Same way with the Pillow Man. I always cancel off that ad because right at the end, you get that tune in your head and you're going to be singing that all day long. Okay? All right. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, remember this young gal, 23 years old, going online and trying to find someone. She found someone, worked it out, and you go meet this man in a park at 3 in the morning when no one is around. Now, that's not very smart. But why did she go? Because she had evil expectations of something we know nothing about. We don't know what that was. Because if she didn't have some, even though she looks very, how should we say, naive, and even though at 23, certainly very foolish. I mean, that's a dumb thing to do. But nevertheless, she did it. Okay? So her mind was desperately wicked, and the mind of the man who lured her to do it was even more desperately wicked. How did that work out? They finally found out that he killed her, chopped her up, and burned her. And my question is, did he also have her as a meal? I don't know. So the progression of evil comes because of this. Now here's what most people don't know. Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. You can't hide anything from God. What did David say about the creation of human beings? He said, if I go into the heavens, you are there. If I go down deep in the earth, you are there. If I lay down, you are there. If I stand up, you are there. And like I brought out with a recent church at home, everyone lives and moves and has their being because of what God did in creation. See? Whether they know God or not, search the heart to give to each one according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. That's how difficulties come because of sin. Right? Yes. All right. In spite of that, okay, come down here to verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me, God says, shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord and have forsaken the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. All right? Now, what does God offer? Turn the page. What does God offer? Okay. So, there are times Jeremiah felt real bad. He complained to God. So, this was a pretty tough message to handle. So, God said, all right, now I want you to go tell them this. In spite of all the things that I've said here, if they will do these things, I'll be good to them. Verse 19. Thus says the Lord, go stand in the gates of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out and in all the gates of Jerusalem and say to them, hear the word of the Lord. Kings of Judah and all the people of Jerusalem who enter in by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourself. That goes right back to what God told Cain. You rule over the sin. Take heed to yourself. Carry no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out from your houses on the Sabbath, nor do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey. See, he gave them a chance. It's like the hardened criminals. If you let them out, it's like one murderer said, well, if you let me out, I'm going to do it again. I know it. They did not obey nor incline their ear and made their neck stiff that they might not hear. And it shall be, in spite of all of that, notice what he says here. And then I need to remind you of the meeting that Jeremiah had with Zedekiah. Zedekiah wanted to talk to him at night to find out what was going on. And he said, don't tell anybody that you're coming to talk to me, but I need to talk to you. And so what is the word of the Lord for me? Jeremiah said, if you will turn yourself over to the Babylonians, I will not destroy the city or burn the temple. He would live. His sons would live. But he didn't. He tried to run away, and Nebuchadnezzar's men caught him, took him to Nebuchadnezzar, and he gouged out the eyes of Zedekiah and killed his sons. Didn't have to happen. He could have said, yes, I'll turn myself in to the Babylonians. You know what they would do? They would put him right back on the throne as a vassal king. So he says here, and it shall be, if you diligently hearken to me, says the Lord, to bring no bundle through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work in it, then the kings and rulers sitting on the throne of David shall enter in by the gates of the city, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their rulers and the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. So whenever God brings out condemnation of sin, what does he want? Repentance. That's what he wants. Now, I don't know if there's any hope for these people here, but how many people now accept it and go along with it as an option of behavior? And we even have one candidate who should be a woman running for president. Okay? Let's take a break.